providing the project to your home, Mr. Ellington. This is December the 13th, an interview with Mr. Charles S. Ellington. And his daughter-in-law is here, who is
Jill Ellington.
Jill Ellington, who's helping out a great deal. We really appreciate your time and your willingness to share your story about your participation in the military during World War II. Let's begin with just some background information. Can you tell us where you were born and you grew up?
I was born in a little town in North Kansas, Sabetha, about 7 miles south of the Nebraska line.
What did your parents do for a living?
Well, they just kind of worked around different things, different places, you know. I grew up mostly. They just different things.
Saying what did they do for a living?
Well, just different odd jobs in the city, in the town.
Did you all live in a home or did you live in an apartment?
Living in a home.
Did you own your home?
Yeah, they owned the home.
Okay, how many sisters and brothers did you have?
Didn't have any.
You're the only child.
That's right.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school. I started going to school in Sabetha, Kansas. Grade school in Sabetha, Kansas.
And what was that school like in grade school?
Grade school? Well, it was, what was it like?
Mm-hmm. What was it like going to that school?
It was enjoyable. It was okay. I had a good time there. I mean, I had a lot of friends there.
Was it a large school?
Oh, not real large, no. I forget how many students we had, but there wasn't that many.
How many grades did it have? Do you remember?
There was... Eight grades and two junior highs.
Okay, and everybody went to that school.
Everybody went to that school and then went to high school.
Mm-hmm. Were there both white and African American?
Yeah, they were. Race didn't matter because I was about the only one that wasn't white that was in my class.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any African American teachers?
No.
There were any teachers around that area?
No, okay. There were no African American teachers.
Okay. What other things did you do growing up? What was your routine in the house? What were your household chores?
To go to the store. I lived with my grandmother a lot because I lived mainly with my grandmother and I used to go to the store and for her, and bring either food back or sometime a container of kerosene because we had a kerosene stove that we cooked on. So I used to do stuff like that, and that was my household chore and help keep the house clean.
Did your grandmother live nearby?
I lived with her.
Lived with her. And everybody lived in the same house?
Yeah, lived in the same house, except sometimes some of the others were gone. Sometimes even my mother was gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was she doing when she was gone?
Well, she was working in Topeka.
Oh, so
she was working in Topeka.
How did she get back and forth from home to Topeka?
Well, she just caught a bus. Caught a bus, went back and forth from Topeka to Sabetha.
Really?
My father wasn't around.
Uh-huh. And so what year did you say you were born?
1924.
Okay. All right. And when your mother would be away in Topeka working, your grandmother was
there? My grandmother was my grandmother, and she worked too for some people in Sabetha.
Uh-huh.
She worked for some people there in Sabetha.
So what kind of things did you do for fun when you were growing up?
Well, I got a little older. I tell you what, I've always loved airplanes. I used to, whenever I could, and had the money from some of my relatives, or usually my aunt, my mother's older sister, I would buy model airplanes and make model airplanes. I loved airplanes when I was a kid.
Yeah. So did you kind of have a sense of what you wanted to do when you got out of school?
I thought I wanted to fly airplanes. But I didn't think about, at that time, there wasn't any of us in the flying airplanes in the military. I heard of a few, but there wasn't too many of us flying airplanes.
Well, what attracted you to airplanes back in the 20s and 30s?
I don't know. I used to see them go by. I used to see them fly by. And every once in a while, they'd land in a pasture up there. And one time, my mother was there at the time, and a male cousin. We went to where the plane landed over in the pasture, and they went up for a ride, but they didn't want to spend the money for me to go up for a ride, I didn't go for a ride. I wanted to ride, take a ride, but my mother didn't have the money to spend for me to go up a ride.
So what other kinds of things did you do? Did you join? What did you and your buddies, did you play
outside? Well, we played outside a lot, played outdoors a lot. Like, Cowboys and Indians at the time. We used to see those in a lot of movies. And have rubber guns to shoot, shooting each other.
So did you go to the movies a lot?
Well, as much as I could. They were pretty cheap, so I went to movies quite a bit.
Did you have to sit in a certain place in the movie theater?
Yes, we did have to sit in a certain place in the movie theater.
Where'd you sit?
We had to sit in the back, on the towards the right side of the theater, in the back.
Mm-hmm. When you were playing, were some of your playmates white?
Most of my playmates were my cousins.
Mm-hmm. So there was a big family of you.
Well, there was a lot of, there was a lot of, I had a lot of cousins, but I didn't have any brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a lot of cousins to play with.
Okay. What about church? What kind of, were you attending church? Did your family?
Yeah, there was a church there in Sabetha. I can't think of the name of it.
Was it Baptist? Or
no, it was an AME.
AME. And what did you all do on Sunday? Did you have to go every day? Every Sunday?
My grandmother would usually, I was with her, and she'd take me to church. We'd go every Sunday. And then on certain occasions, whenever they had, I think it was in June or something like that, have a program called Children's Day. Mm-hmm. And some lady used to have a bunch of us and to get together, and we used to sing songs, and she'd play the piano. We'd sing, get up there and sing.
So what, in terms of your growing up, what are some of your best memories growing up in Sabetha?
Well, I don't know. I can't think of any best memories.
Or what are some of your memories?
Well.
Most prominent memory, may I say.
I know I had fun. I had a lot of fun with my I had two cousins that were almost like brother and sister to me, mm-hmm. and we had a lot of fun together.
Who were they? What were their names?
Their names? Mm-hmm. The girl's name was Rosalie, mm-hmm. and the boy's name was Merritt, and last name was Scott.
So, did you go through the eighth grade in?
I went to the eighth grade. Yeah, I went to the eighth grade. In fact, I went to junior high in Sabetha, and then I left. My mother wanted to make a permanent home in Sabetha, in Topeka. Uh-huh. She had remarried somebody from Topeka, and she got me to come move to Topeka, and I started Topeka High. And Topeka High was start at, well, there was just 3 years at Topeka High.
Right.
Sophomore, junior, and senior.
Mm-hmm. Who did your mother remarry?
She married a man named James Hickman in Topeka.
Okay. And so you came to live with them?
Yeah, I came and went to live with them in
Topeka. Okay. What did Mr. Hickman do for a living?
He worked at the Santa Fe Railroad.
At the shops?
At the shops.
Tell me, and if you were going, let's go back to Sabetha when you're growing up there. What was race relations like there?
Race relations?
Uh-huh.
I saw nothing wrong with the race relations there. There may have been one or two that didn't like me too well. And if they would pick on me, white boys I was talking about, if they'd pick on me, I had one or two that would help me. And if we got in a fight, they'd help me. So race relations to me was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never think about any anything that was going on that involved tension between the two groups.
No, not between the two groups. There were places, naturally in Sabetha, where maybe restaurants where you couldn't go in to eat, something like that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't pay attention to that, and we didn't go in the restaurants anyway. Mm-hmm.
Were your parents active in any NAACP activities?
No.
Civil rights?
Sure.
What kind of organizations were your folks involved in? Any organizations outside the church?
No, outside the church.
Okay, all right. So going to Topeka, what was it like making that transition from Sabetha to Topeka that was a little bit larger?
Well, it was a large school, and my mother told me, Charles said, things are different here in Topeka. Said you'll be mostly around, you'll be around a lot of white people. So you'll be around mostly, at the time we were colored.
Yeah, right.
You're around mostly colored people. So that was true. In fact, the class I was in, there was a large group of colored students there. So we hung together in certain groups.
When you said you wouldn't do, what sort of other things in your life in Topeka as a youngster at Topeka High, what other things did you participate at the school? What organizations?
Well, as far as sports is concerned, at that time, and I wasn't interested anyway, even in Sabetha, I tried a little, I guess it was baseball or football or something like that. But I wasn't too interested in that anyway in Topeka High. But Topeka High was actually segregated as far as sports concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing they would let us do when I was there was run track. And I went out for track.
Oh. So did you go to the track meets and that sort of thing? Or?
Yeah, I went out for track and run track against other schools.
Against other schools?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So in that, there was no segregation in that process?
Not in that part of it. Not in track. There was in football, baseball, basketball. Basketball had, Topeka High had their own black team, colored team. It's called the Ramblers.
When you were traveling with track, did you ever travel outside the city with
No, mostly in town. Mostly in town. So, other high schools in town.
Did you win anything in track?
No, I didn't win. I won, maybe I won a race or so, but I eventually got discouraged because I could outrun a lot of the white boys,
mm-hmm.
but one or two of the black boys would beat me, and I got kind of discouraged. I shouldn't have said black; I meant colored.
Yeah, but it don't make any difference. What were your teachers like at Topeka High?
Well, they were good. They were okay. as far as I remember, they were all right. I took the usual courses I had to take, English and history and that sort of thing. And then I also took, I did take a couple of years of Spanish at Topeka High. Mm-hmm. And became pretty good in Spanish because we had a lot of, we did have a lot of Mexican students there. Mm-hmm. And so I took a couple of years in Spanish. And I wanted to get into the science part of it, so I took physics. Mm-hmm. And I got 1 year of chemistry and took the physics in Topeka High. Yeah.
Well, where were you living in Topeka? You remember your street?
No. Yeah, I remember. I was living on 13th Monroe Street.
So you were right near Monroe School.
Yeah, right near Monroe School. Yeah. And actually, when I first went there, of course, Monroe School was all colored, you know.
Uh-huh.
That's the way it was in the grade schools. Mm-hmm. I used to go down there and play with some of the kids. We'd play whole different games, you know, at Monroe School.
Did you play on the grounds or did you play across the street?
On the grounds, usually. Yeah.
Did they have dances there at Monroe School, senior high?
You know, I think they did.
Uh-huh.
I think they did. I can't remember too much about it because I didn't participate in it. I wasn't much of a dancer.
So what did you like about Topeka High as opposed to going to school in Sabetha? Anything new or different?
I had a lot of friends at Topeka High, and boys and girls, mm-hmm. you know.
So did you begin courting at Topeka High?
A little bit. There was one or two that I liked real well, mm-hmm. and we kind of got together a little bit. Not real much, but a little bit.
So what did you do on your dates? Where did you take?
Well, I didn't go on too many dates. Maybe we went to a movie or two, uh-huh. something like that, and that'd be about it.
Okay. In terms of your mother and your father, what were they, what church did they get involved in Topeka?
In Topeka? It was an AME church, and it wasn't too far from where we lived on Monroe Street. I lived 13th Monroe, and I think the church was about 15th Monroe, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And they used to go there.
So, did you ever go to St. John?
Never went to St. John until I became an adult.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I think St. Mark was in North Topeka, wasn't it?
St. Mark was in North Topeka.
Uh-huh. The other, I think you're talking about Brown Chapel?
Yeah, Brown Chapel. There was Brown Chapel. Mm-hmm. It was a Baptist church. Brown Chapel was a Baptist church, I think.
Brown Chapel was AME off of
Warren. Oh, was it AME?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah. And there is a Brown Chapel that is a Baptist church.
Yeah, yeah.
What kinds of things did you find race relations in Topeka similar to that of Sabetha, or how would you describe it?
Well, I guess race relations, as far as I'm concerned, was all right in Topeka because I had a lot of friends that I could go around with, you know, and have fun with.
Did you ever go on 4th Street?
Yeah.
What did you do there?
There was a theater down there. Mm-hmm. There was a theater down there we used to go to.
It was owned by African Americans?
Yeah, it was a theater, and actually, you know, about the only one we could go to. Mm-hmm. A theater, and of course there was Max Tavern where you could go, and I wasn't much of a drinker. I didn't drink, but I would go down there and some of us would shoot pool.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to buy groceries?
Groceries? In Sabetha?
No, in
Topeka?
Topeka?
Uh-huh. Where did we go?
Well, that's okay.
I really can't remember.
So, did you have a car? Did your family have a car?
My stepfather had a car.
Uh-huh.
He had a car.
Did you learn how to drive while you were in high school?
No, I didn't learn how to drive when I was in high school. No, sure
did.
Didn't.
Most of your buddies have cars?
There might have been one or two that had a car. And in fact, there were one or two that had motorcycles, and I don't know where they got the money to do it, but you was talking about Richard Ridley.
Yeah.
He's one of them. He had a motorcycle.
Really?
He used to ride around on a motorcycle.
Wow, I didn't know that. So you graduated from Topeka High?
I graduated from Topeka High.
And what was that graduation like?
Well.
Or do you remember anything from it?
Don't remember a whole lot from it. I remember we used to, and we had a, I can't remember too much about it.
When the African American students were graduating, did they have to sit in a different place than the others, or do you remember?
I think we did sit in a different place. Yeah. Sure.
Uh-huh. So after you graduated, then what did you do?
A friend of mine and myself, we decided. Now he was 2 years older than me. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was at Washburn University. He was 2 or 3 years older than me. I don't know if you knew any of the Prices in Topeka or not.
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Did you ever know a guy named Bill Price?
Uh-huh.
You knew Bill Price?
I knew of him.
You knew of Bill Price? He and I, he was at the Workman University. He and I decided at that time, I'm not sure if the war had started or not. But at that time, I think it had. I think the war had just started. And they had announced that they were going to let colored guys try to fly airplanes.
Uh-huh.
At one time, they said they couldn't do it because they didn't have the coordination, didn't have the intelligence. They were too. They just weren't the right type to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, he and I decided we were going to take the examination for aviation cadet, which we did. He and I. I was just out of high school. He had 2 or 3 years at Washburn, and we took the examination at Washburn, and that was in 19. That was right after I graduated from Topeka High, which was in 1942, and we took the examination. He passed it, and I think I passed it, but I'm quite sure he did better than I did. And he was called into the service of Tuskegee to fly airplanes, and I wasn't. And so they called him to Tuskegee to take the training, and me they didn't call me. So I just had to. I just stayed on until I was drafted. I was drafted a year later.
Okay, so what kinds of things had you been hearing about when the war began in 1941? What kinds of things in your community do you remember they were talking about before you got drafted?
Well, I can't really remember any things like that, but
what did your family and friends think about World War II?
I don't know. Nobody said too much about it.
Were you aware of anything outside of Topeka, outside of Kansas, what race relations were like across the nation?
I'd heard about it. I'd heard about it because we used to take the papers that, like, the Kansas City Call would be full of information like that, and the Pittsburgh Courier, not Courier, Pittsburgh, was it Courier?
Yeah, it was Courier.
Yeah, okay. We used to get those papers, and there'd be a lot of stuff about race relations.
And so, when the war broke out, what did you think? Did you think you were going to join it, even if you did not pass the flying test, or what was your feeling about it?
Well, I just waited, and actually, I was in the summer, about July of 1943, I was drafted. I was drafted into the Army.
How come you didn't just sign up before then?
Well, I just didn't see the, I don't know, I just didn't.
Did, What were you doing? Were you working? Did you get a little job after high school?
Actually, the summer before I graduated from high school until I was drafted, I went out to Washburn. My aunt paid for 1 year, one semester of Washburn University, and I went to school there one semester.
What kind of courses? Do you remember what you took?
I took. I took English, history, and some physics.
Oh wow! Did you like it?
I liked it. I was always interested in getting into that part of it.
Did you kind of know what you wanted to do as a career, or at that point, or do you remember?
Well, I wasn't really sure at that point what I wanted to do. No, I wasn't sure.
So when you were drafted, what was that like? What, did a letter come to your home? Do you remember?
I guess so. I don't remember now.
What did your mother say when you got drafted?
I don't know.
What, was she concerned?
Oh yeah, she was concerned, all right. But I guess. It was just one of those things. Almost every, there's a lot of them that I knew had been drafted.
Mm-hmm.
So I did one silly thing. I called the draft board, and I said, you know, a lot of my friends have been drafted, and I was wondering why I hadn't been. He said, "What's your name?" I told him my name.
Mm-hmm.
About a week later, I got the draft. I got the draft notice.
So you wanted to be with your friends?
I wanted to be. I wanted to go too. A lot of my friends have gone, mm-hmm. and I wanted to be. I wanted to go too.
Who do you remember some of your friends' names?
Oh, gosh, I can't remember too much about it.
Was Charles Scott one of your friends? One of your colleagues?
No.
Frederick Temple?
I remember Frederick Temple. He was just a little older than me. He was in PI before I was. Mm-hmm. A little older. And Bill Gaines.
Uh-huh.
You remember Bill? Bill Gaines. And, I can't think of too many others. So, yeah, they...
Now, I want to ask you this because I'm just... Do you remember any women joining in the WACS or anything coming out of Topeka? Any of the women joining the military in
women?
Female units? Yeah.
No, I don't remember. Yeah.
Okay, when you were, so you were in school when you were drafted?
No, well, I wasn't in school when I was drafted, no. I had graduated from high school, and I...
You were at Washburn when you were drafted.
Well, actually, I had finished the semester at Washburn, because I went from, you know, semester,
right.
Starting semester in September, and now I was drafted in July.
Okay. So once you were drafted, then what did you do? What was the process that you had to follow through on?
When I was drafted?
Yes, sir.
Well, I had to go to, this will be interesting, I had to go to Fort Leavenworth to be interviewed. And I had passed examination for aviation cadet, okay? Okay, I went to Fort Leavenworth to be interviewed. And naturally the officers, different ones, you know. And so the Army interviewed me. And then it came down to the Navy. I knew I did not want to go to the Navy.
Why?
I did not want to go on a boat. I didn't want to go on that water. And I told them, you know, the guy said, they checked me out, you know, mm-hmm. and they checked, you know, at that time, I had great eyes, but they, you know, there was an examination you could get where you could, there was a lot of colors in there, you know, I forget what they called that, where you could see either letters or numbers, you know.
Right, uh-huh.
Yeah, remember that. So they said, you'd make a good man for the Navy. I said, I don't want to go to the Navy. Why not? I said, well, I don't want to be on a boat, all that water. I don't like the uniforms. I told the guy that, the Navy guy, I told him that. I don't like the uniform. And not only that, the Navy, there's a lot of discrimination in the Navy. And the guy says, oh no, not anymore. Not anymore. You can do anything you want to in the Navy. I said, could I fly airplanes in the Navy? They said, oh no, you can't do that. I said, well, I pulled out of my pocket. I said, I have a notice here where I passed the examination for aviation cadet in the Army. Mm-hmm. So if I can't do it in the Navy, why can't I go to the Army and do it then? And they could see I was very determined not to go about this Navy thing. So this guy says, this officer says, okay, you go on then. So they let me go, and I went to the Army.
What had you heard about the Navy and its discrimination? Do you remember?
Well, yeah. Usually when the guys went in, they had to be kind of a servant or something like that to the officers, mm-hmm. keep their quarters clean, mm-hmm. And stuff like that, you know, they weren't trained but to do anything.
How did you know that? How did you know that?
I don't know. I read about it somewhere. I read about it, mm-hmm. that they weren't trained. Like that guy, he went out there and grabbed a gun. I forget the guy's name in the Navy. When the Japanese came over. He went out there and grabbed the gun and started shooting. He wasn't trained to do that. He just did it. And they hadn't trained us to do anything in the Navy.
Yeah. Let me ask, that's interesting. Let me ask this question. So once you were at Leavenworth and you did the interviews, then what happened?
Well, okay, then I came home. I think I came home. And then I had to catch a train, I guess it was a train, to go to basic training.
Right, basic training.
Uh-huh,
right. I thought that's what you were saying.
Basic training.
I wasn't sure. So where did you go for your basic training?
Yeah, I went to Camp Crowder, Missouri. For basic training.
How did they happen to send you there?
I don't know, but they did.
Okay.
They sent me to Camp Crowder, and of course it was in a black outfit,
uh-huh.
black order, and Camp Crowder, and they trained me to shoot all kinds of guns,
mm-hmm.
Bayonet training, the whole works. After you finished Camp Crowder, you were ready, and a lot of them did before that. I heard that about that, to go to the South Pacific to fight the Japanese. So that's what they were training us for. That's what I was training for.
What do you remember the name of the unit you were with? Or?
No, I don't remember the name.
Okay. Well, tell me what that basic training camp. What was the physical conditions? What was that like? Were you in tents? Were you in barracks that were made
barracks.
Of wood?
Barracks, yeah, wooden barracks.
There, you weren't just in tents?
No, wooden barracks. Sometimes we'd have to go out in the field and they wanted you to get all kinds of training, so they'd make us go out and into the field and maybe pitch a tent and stay all night or something, and maybe there'd be somebody to cook our meals, cook for us the next day so we could have something to eat, mm-hmm. something like that.
So this was an all African American unit. Were there any white officers, or do you remember who were the main people over?
Well, actually, the non-coms were black, but the officers were white. Yeah, the officers were white.
Who were some of the people that you met Do you remember any people that you met, that you remember?
I really can't think of the names of them.
But what do you remember about them?
Oh, we got along fine. Got along fine. I know there was some from St. Louis that I remember, seemed like to me.
Were there any from Topeka with you?
Yes, there was. I can't think of the names, but...
Well, that's okay. That's all right. So,
Escobel.
Okay. Did you meet... Were there some from the Deep South?
Oh, yeah. There were some from all over, actually. Uh-huh. There were some from all over.
How did you like meeting all those people?
Oh, I liked it. I liked it okay. We got along fine. I liked it fine.
Was it different for you because they were all over the country?
Okay. No, it wasn't different. We got along fine.
So after your train, where was a white basic training camp nearby?
I don't remember too much about the white basic training camp.
But you don't remember one being nearby?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Okay. Did you feel like the conditions were what you expected, the physical conditions were what you expected for basic training?
Yeah, I thought so, yeah. It was definitely basic training, and we were trained to do it all. Fire everything from a pistol to those big rifles and carbine rifles and all that kind of stuff. Machine guns, whatever.
Had you shot guns before?
No, except when I was a kid, I did have a rifle at home. I shot a little rifle.
When you first put on that uniform, what did you feel like? What do you remember about it?
Oh, I don't know. I just knew that's the way it was supposed to be.
Okay. In terms of what did you do after basic training?
Basic training? Okay, they did some extra work on me to find out if I was qualified for anything, and they found out I had a aptitude for radio training, and they sent me to what's the name of that place they sent me to?
You know what state it was in?
Oh, yeah, it was in Kansas.
It was in Kansas. Okay, so
it was down close to
Fort Riley.
No, it was down south southern part of Kansas.
Okay.
Right across from Camp Crowder.
Okay. In,
not close from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh,
that's
Kansas.
That's good. Okay. And so you really stayed in this area.
I did. I stayed in this area.
So what did you do at this at that?
Well, I did some radio training, and in fact they were training. Some guys to climb poles and string lines.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to do that, but I did some things there that some radio training. Mm-hmm. Until they found out I could. I was pretty good at that. They sent me to Daniel Field, Georgia, for some radio training.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I learned how to be a radio operator.
When you were in the camp that was initially training you for the radio, were you with an all black unit then?
Oh yeah.
This a different group than what you were?
It was a different group.
And then they sent you to Georgia, and that's a different group.
That was a different group too.
But it also was segregated.
It was segregated, except the trainers were white. Mm-hmm. The trainers were white, and that's where I met. That picture where you see all those guys,
mm-hmm.
That's where we all got together down there in a radio train. There were eight of us, and we got radio training, and we ended up in Godlinville, Kentucky, radio operators. We had different...
Where in Kentucky?
Godlinville.
Okay.
And that's where Colonel Davis was the commander. And one time, it was a white commander.
Mm-hmm.
It was segregated.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time I was there, the Colonel Davis had taken over, so it was all black.
Okay, all right. So what was that like living in those quarters? What was it like?
It was good. It was good. It was nice. Nice quarters. And
when you say nice, what do you mean? Nice?
Well, it was a good place to. It was a good place to live. The barracks were clean and everything, and the guys were. We got along fine together. Yeah.
What did you do? What was your daily routine in that camp in Kentucky? You remember what your daily routine was?
The daily routine. Well, there were days when we had to, when we got trained, we had to operate the radio for 8 hours, and then we'd get, and of course there was eight of us, so we'd get some time off, you know. And what we did was sent messages up and down the East Coast from New York to Florida. And maybe sometime an airplane, if they had radio operators on an airplane. But we'd send messages, like I say, from base to base. Any message we would receive from them, we had to cipher it from the code, Morse code,
uh-huh.
and type it down and make a record of it so we could turn it in.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed it.
So in terms of your communication, was the people, was there a supervisor over this group of eight that you were doing that? Did you have a supervisor?
Oh, yeah.
And who was that supervisor? Was the person black or white?
Oh, it was black. It was, the whole thing was black.
Were they hard on you?
Not necessarily.
Did you have to go through physical training, or did you go anything? Was that a part of the routine?
I don't remember any physical training. I didn't do.
Uh-huh. But you just did it in basic training.
In basic training, very, very physical. Mm-hmm. Very physical.
I can imagine. So what did you do for social life? You went off on, did you go off the base or the...
Sure. Some of us guys, we'd go to, I shouldn't go back to Camp Crowder.
Sure.
But that was right outside of St. Louis.
Right.
And they told us, do not go to town alone. If you go into town, go in a group, because there's gangs there, and they see a soldier, and they will gang up on you and probably beat you up and steal your money. So we didn't go to town by ourselves. We went in a group. But anyway, Camp Crowder,
mm-hmm.
that was close to Louisville, Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm not sure if we went. Yeah, there was a time we went to Louisville, caught the bus and went to Louisville, a group of us. But most of the time, it seemed like to me, we just went around to different bases, different places on close to the... To our airfield.
When you went off, did you have some off limits of places where you could not go because you were an African American soldier?
Well, we knew there were some places we couldn't go. We just
like,
knew that.
Like what were those places?
Huh?
What were the places you couldn't go?
Well, places where the restaurants, places where they had. Maybe entertainment and stuff like that, you know.
Did you go to churches there? Did you attend any churches?
Very, very little. I would try to go to church on the holidays,
mm-hmm.
Christmas, Easter, places like that. I didn't go. I really didn't go too much. Like
so you never did socialize with the group that lived in the town nearby?
No, not the two groups that lived in the town. No, sure didn't.
So after you were doing the radio things, did you do anything else while you were during World War II?
Actually, they were training us. Colonel Davis was a commanding officer. Of course, before I got there, even he and a group of fighter pilots went to North Africa. Then they got some training. Then they came back to Germany and escorted some bombers. Mm-hmm. Those bombers, they escorted some bombers to over Germany. Mm-hmm. The bombers B-17 were all white. Mm-hmm. A lot of them didn't realize that that the black pilots were their escorts.
Did you know that at the time when you were sitting in Kentucky? Were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't there at that time. Mm-hmm. That was before I got there.
How were you describing, what other things did you do while you were in this camp as a radio operator?
Well, that was the main thing, actually. But the whole base was being trained. Mm-hmm. The commanding general from Washington, D.C. came down one time, and we was all standing out there in attention, you know, to listen to what he had to say. And he said, you know, they didn't know what to do with us, you know.
What do you mean they didn't know what to do with us?
They didn't know. They just like they didn't know what to about the pilots, training pilots. They didn't know what to do with that. They didn't know what to do with the group. We had bombers on the base, B-25 bombers, and we had fighter planes on there, B-47s on the base. Mm-hmm. So, and they were ready. So they didn't know what to do with us. They didn't know whether we were ready or not. But this general came and said, "Okay, you guys have had enough training now. So, in August." You're going to Okinawa to fight Japan,
including the radio operators.
All of us were going. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole group, the planes, everybody connected with that base was going.
And that base was all black.
All black at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then, what did you think when you heard that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what I thought. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to think about that.
Were you concerned?
Yeah, I was concerned about going over there because I knew that it would be a battle. But I knew that it would be okay because we had airplanes going with us. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how we was going to get there. I didn't know whether I was going to be on a plane to get there or whether I'd be on a ship. I didn't know.
You didn't want that ship, I don't think.
Well, it'd be okay to go on a ship to go there. Uh-huh. That'd be okay. I just didn't want to go to the Navy. I didn't want to be a member of the Navy because I knew that the Navy wasn't going to treat me right. But that'd been okay. Uh-huh. To go on a ship, on a boat to go to. But anyway, as you might have heard, President Truman wanted to put an end to the war. So we sent a B-29 bomber with atomic bombs on it. The Japanese would not quit give up. They would not surrender. They wouldn't stop. They wouldn't give up. They wanted to keep fighting till they kill us all. So anyway, he sent the B-29 bombers over there to drop bombs on those two cities, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Mm-hmm.
How did you hear about it when you were serving there in Kentucky? How did you hear about the bombing?
Well, you know, I don't know how I heard about it. I did.
Did you, in any of the messages that you took, did you get a hint of what the war was doing on the Pacific front?
No, I don't think so. I don't think.
What were those messages that you all were conveying and translating? What were they usually saying? What was the information being shared? What kind of information?
Gosh, I can't remember. I really can't remember.
Okay. So, but you didn't know. What about the war with Germany? Do you remember anything while you were there in Kentucky about that?
Germany?
Uh-huh.
No, we, except what I maybe read or heard or something.
So after Truman dropped the bomb, then what? Then what did you do?
Well, we were very happy because the war was getting ready. We knew the war was over. The Japanese would, we figured they would give up. They would surrender, mm-hmm. which they did. Mm-hmm. And they met on a ship out there in the out there close to Hawaii, I guess it was.
What did you do? What did you do when all that was going on? What were you doing?
Well, nothing. Just doing my job. And but just there wasn't much for me to do except do my job, I guess.
Did you like what you were doing?
Yeah, I did. I liked it. I liked it real well. I really did. I liked the guys I worked with, and I liked what I was doing.
So then, after the bombing, then what happened?
Well,
to you.
To me.
Uh huh.
When was that? The war was over. October? I think it was October when they surrendered. Finally surrendered. Okay, but we kind of there wasn't much for us to do except do what we had to do, and get ready for either stay in and stay in the service or go take a discharge.
So what was your choice?
I took my discharge.
Why did you make that choice?
Because I want to get out. Had enough of it.
Why do you say that?
I just had enough of it. I had enough of the war, so I just got out. I came home. I took my doctor's discharge and came home, and I think it was January of night of. That was in 1946, mm-hmm. January 1946.
You came back to Topeka.
Came back to Topeka. Took my GI Bill. Went to Washburn and met my wife there.
And who was your wife?
Huh?
Who was your wife?
Who?
Who was your wife?
Her name?
Uh-huh, right, please.
Her first name was Ardis, A-R-D-I-S.
Uh-huh.
Menifee. You ever heard of Menifees?
Yeah, Menifee.
Up in the kind of Meskridge?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that was my wife.
Mr. and Mrs. Guy Lewis lived in that area, too.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. When you came back home, did they have welcoming parties for you?
No. I don't remember nothing like that. No welcoming party. I don't even remember.
When you came back home, did you meet your other friends who had come back home, too, had been serving in the war? Did you see them and meet with them?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So what made you make the choice of taking advantage of the GI Bill versus just finding a job?
Well, why did I do that? Because it gave me an opportunity I wanted to go to Washburn. Oh, I had an idea. I wanted to be an engineer. So I wanted to go to Washburn. And the only way to be an engineer was get some knowledge in sciences. So that's why I did that. And I had 3 years coming to me.
Uh-huh.
So I went all 3 years. And actually, when I met my wife the first semester I was there, then we got married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she had a job.
What was she doing?
She was working for a doctor in Topeka. She was working for a doctor in Topeka. Because we was living in Topeka. And I went to Washburn. We was living in Topeka.
Did you live in a home or in an apartment?
First place we lived at was out there on west of Gage on Huntington Street. Mm-hmm. And
was it an apartment?
No. Well, I wouldn't say it was an apartment. We had a room with kitchen privileges. And I was trying to think of these people's names. The man who we rented from was the had been the principal of Monroe School at one time.
Mm-hmm. Turner?
No, not Turner. Another guy. Or maybe it was another school.
Okay.
I was thinking it was Washburn. Maybe it was Washington School.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it was Washington School. His daughter was a teacher. His daughter was a teacher in Topeka. He taught in a black school. Oh, what was his name?
Did you graduate from Washburn?
I didn't graduate. I had one semester to go, and I didn't go.
Wow.
I got a job.
Oh, what did you do?
Well, I worked for different federal agencies there in Topeka. I even worked out the Forbes Air Base at one time. Ended up at the post office in 1952, mm-hmm. something like that. Yeah, I ended up at the post office.
And so you took civil service.
Took civil service. I wasn't too concerned. I knew I couldn't go. I knew I couldn't go to and finish to be in my engineering degree. I knew I couldn't do that. Because I'd had to go on to KU, mm-hmm. and I was married, and I didn't know. I knew I couldn't handle it. Didn't have the money for that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Did you have children by then?
Not by then. I didn't have children until I started working at the post office.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My daughter was born after I started working at the post office.
So how many children do you have?
Two. My daughter, who is she lives in. Newark, Delaware now,
mm-hmm.
and she was, my son is in, after he spent a lot of times he was here, he lived in Topeka a lot, but he's in California.
What do they do?
My daughter had a great job at a bank, and she worked up to a bank executive,
mm-hmm.
at Wilmington Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And the bank sold out to a bank in New York, so she's out of a job. She's looking for another job.
So this was in North Carolina.
No, this was in Delaware.
Okay,
Delaware.
Okay.
And my son is trying to get into, and he's doing pretty good. He's trying to get into acting and modeling.
Oh, great! So he's on the West Coast.
He's on the West Coast.
Yeah.
He's in California. That's my daughter-in-law. That's her husband. They've been married for. Oh, guys, 15 years or so.
When you were, when you're serving active duty, what would you say were some of the things you enjoyed the most? You know, some of the things you enjoyed the most in active duty?
I don't know. I can't.
What did you enjoy the least?
I don't know. I really can't think of anything that I.
It really stands out in your mind. when you got to this job, was there a lot of competition in civil service and getting a job at the post office?
Well, that's I had to take an examination.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it only depended. Well, they were given a break to the veterans.
Right.
They were given a break to the veterans at the time. And if I'd have been a wounded veteran, I'd have got a bigger break. But they were giving breaks to the veteran versus somebody that had never been in the military. So I took the examination, made a reasonably good score, I guess, but still, they gave me a break, so I got into the post office.
When you were being, let's go back to your being discharged. Do you remember what that process entailed? What, when you were discharged, what did you have to do to get discharged?
Oh, well, one
from,
thing.
From the military, that's what I'm talking about.
I almost made a mistake. I signed up. They want to know, they want to know who I'm going to stay in or what they want to do. And I signed up for three more years to I took so I could get some some additional
benefits.
Yeah, benefits and training, and go to. I had to go. I had to go to Kansas City to get some training, and then they paid me for that, and I didn't have to go that often, but I had to go to Kansas City to get some training, and not only that, they said you could catch an airplane, fly someplace wherever you wanted to go, catch a military plane, fly someplace, and so that was appealing to me.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I was glad I was glad that when it ended, if it hadn't ended, I would have ended up in Korea.
So you decided not to do that, not to pursue that. Is that right?
I did, but it ended just in time. I got my discharge from that too, just in time before the Korean War started. Yeah.
When you came out of the war and you were at the post office, did you join any veterans organizations or any kind of veterans activities after the war?
No, I can't think of any.
Did you join the Jordan Patterson Post?
No, I sure didn't. I went there some, but I didn't join it.
Okay. What kind of things do you remember about your experience coming back home as a veteran? Do you remember some experiences you had, or was it hard getting back home, or it was just a different place?
It wasn't hard, just different.
How do you view your participation in the war? What do you think about it?
I'm a little disappointed in my participation.
Okay. You want to explain that a little bit further?
Because I wanted to fly airplanes, and I didn't get a chance to. And if somebody says, I get questions all the time. We go out all the time. You know, we dress in a different uniform. You know, whatever. We're not an army uniform, but we dress in a. I know you've seen those pictures of. Oh yeah, you've seen pictures of the. Navy blue coat, gray pants, badge, and different people, different guys. So I'm military and everything, white or black. Oh, we sure glad you guys were there. We sure glad you did what you did. You really saved us a bunch of trouble, all that kind of stuff, you know. And I say to myself, now what did I do? I didn't fly airplanes.
Okay, all righty. But you did manage the radio operation.
I did do that.
How do you think your military experience influenced your life?
Influenced my life? I can't say that it influenced my life any that I can think of. I really can't say it did.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to add about your experience during World War II or afterwards?
Well, I can't think of anything I'd like to. I think I was very fortunate to go through the war and not have to go where the shooting and bombing and all that stuff was. Very fortunate. All the bases I was on, Godwin Field, very secure. I mean, there wasn't any, you didn't feel like you was anything gonna happen to you or anything there, you know. So, yeah.
What advice would you give to young people today about the military?
About the what?
About the military, or joining the military.
Oh, I got a grandson that's about that age. I told him, don't do it.
Why?
To me, I shouldn't say this, I guess, but to me, this stuff going on now, Afghanistan, Iraq, that's a big nothing. That should never happened.
You think it compared to what World War II was?
Yeah,
about?
Yeah, because they weren't. There's nothing going on there that worthwhile for them to give their lives up for.
But you did feel that way about World War II.
Yeah, I did. I feel like we were. I feel like, okay, Japanese started the war. It's time for us to get back at them. And Germany.
What about Germany? Yeah.
Well, Germany. I never thought about Germany too much because we didn't think about going there. But the Germany, you know, they were a bad bunch too, you know. And but I never thought about Germany. I thought mostly about the Japanese. I never thought about Germany too much.
What do you think? Had Topeka, when you came back from Kentucky to Topeka, did you see any changes in Topeka at that time, or did you notice any changes, particularly in race relations?
Let's see. I came back in
46.
Well, things are about the same. Things are about the same. We were in 46. I know there were still places where you couldn't go. In a restaurant, you couldn't go. And I remember after my wife and I got married, the best place we could go, we'd go to Kansas City and go to Pooch's Cafeteria.
Best place.
Huh?
Best place.
You remember that place?
Yeah.
That was the best place to go. Yeah. And you could go there and there'd be all kinds of people in there. But in Topeka, like Green or some of those cafeterias, you couldn't go there at the time I got home.
When Reverend Oliver Brown and the other 12 plaintiffs got involved in the Brown v. Board challenge on the Topeka level, what did you think about it?
I thought it was really great that they did that. I wasn't involved in it, but they were members of St. John. Well, Oliver and his wife were at that time.
Were you a member of St. John at that time?
Let's see, when was that? What was that?
In the 50s?
In the 50s?
Mm-hmm.
I believe I was just a new member there at that time. And, yeah, because I knew all those people. Yeah, I'm a member there. And Oliver Brown and his wife, Oliver Brown, actually, when I lived on... over in Oakland, actually, I lived on a street called Atchison Street, rented from a relative of yours, Harry Dandridge.
Right, uh-huh. Yeah, because they had a little restaurant there nearby.
I used to see him come by the house, because he worked there during the day, and was a minister at what's that church? His church? In North Topeka?
Calvary.
No, North Topeka. The church is an AME.
Oh, St. Mark.
St. Mark AME, yeah, St. Mark AME. Well, he was a minister there, and I didn't know him then, except I used to see him go by the house. And
you're talking about Reverend Oliver Brown.
Yeah, Reverend Oliver Brown. And when they started this going on about this, there were two members there at St. John. That had something a lot to do with it. Alvin
And
Todd, the Todds. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had something to do with it. And actually, there's a street or something
right.
named in her memory.
After her, yeah. Yeah. She was secretary of the NAACP.
Yeah. And they had something to do with it. And they were members there at St. John. He was singing in the men's choir. And she was, and I remember her. And
were your children going to school at that time in Topeka?
Were they going to school?
Yeah, were your children attending school?
No, let's see, wait a minute. My daughter was old enough to go, but at that time we were living over in Oakland, and she went to State Street Elementary.
Now, State Street, was it all black at that time?
No, it was mixed. Uh-huh. It was mixed. But when we moved over on McVicker Street, my daughter was. She didn't go to Monroe. She went to State Street, but she went to Boswell.
Mm-hmm. Junior High.
Boswell Junior High. Of course, it was mixed too, I think. I
yeah, thinking. With all the junior highs.
Yeah, junior highs. Time. Yeah. Yeah, Crane,
uh-huh,
Boswell.
Right.
And then, of course, when my son came along, he's a lot younger. Mm-hmm. He's a lot younger than my daughter. And when he came along, then he went to
Roosevelt? I forgot what school was over there. Well, so did you all get involved in the PTAs or anything like that?
No, not really. Not really, we didn't.
What kind of organizations did you get involved in?
None that I can think of. I can't think of any organizations I got involved in.
Right. Okay.
No. You know, Oliver Brown's wife, she remarried mm-hmm. after he died.
Right.
Uh-huh. She goes to St. John.
In terms of your life experiences after the war, how would you characterize it? Were they good, or how would you characterize your life after serving in the war? Do you think you got any benefits out of it?
From the government, I did, yes. From the government, the GI Bill.
Right.
GI Bill helped me buy my house and sent me to school. And so yeah, I got some benefits out of it. I feel that the GI Bill was a big help.
Mm-hmm.
It helped me get my loan for my home mm-hmm. at a lower interest rate.
Mm-hmm. Did you get your loan from a white bank?
Yeah, from Capital Federal.
Had that backing. Well, that's interesting.
Interesting, huh?
Right. So, is there anything you'd like to add about your experiences during World War II and afterwards?
I really can't think of anything I'd like to add to it.
What would you like for people to remember?
Remember?
About your experiences in World War II.
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know. I can't think of anything.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time, and thank you very much.
Well, that's all right.
For sharing your story with
me.
Thank
you. Okay, I'm happy that you did this, because I was really concerned about it, you know, this interview, and I'm glad that you did.
Okay.
Took the time to do this.
Thank you, sir.
I hope it worked out okay.
Yes, sir. It certainly did.
And I don't know.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, you were just talking about how did you communicate with your folks in home while you were in Kentucky?
My telephone.
Mm-hmm.
My telephone. We talked to each other on the phone.
What would you be telling them?
Huh?
What would you tell them?
Well, there were times when I... There were times when I needed some money.
Did they send you other packages with food and stuff?
No, nothing like that. But there were times when I needed some money because there was a time or two when somebody stole my billfold, stole my money,
mm-hmm.
and I needed some money. So, you know, of course, we didn't get much in those days anyway.
Right.
They weren't paying much.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, so she sent me some money.
And so what did you all talk about what you were doing? You remember what your conversation was?
Oh.
Did you ask about what was going on in Topeka?
Well, I can't remember too much about that. I can't remember too much about that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you.